Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Maximum football.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Tell you what, Wolf, we just saw it across the bottom of the ticker on ESPN. Cliff Kingsbury saying DeAndre Hopkins could be a game-time decision.
Yeah, he could be so a game-time
that's
decision.
Even more ambiguous than game-time.
We'll know more this afternoon, and then on game day, obviously, some of those guys will be a game-day decision. But, yeah, if Max weren't able to go, Sean Harlow would be the center.
Well, so he was asked for an update on Max Garcia, J.J. Watt, and D-Hop. But then someone followed up, and he said this about D-Hop.
Yeah, if it's Hop and it's a national TV game, I know he'll try to be out there. He likes those bright lights and usually plays really good.
Could be a game-time decision.
Boy, that is okay. That is a little disconcerting right there for a number of different reasons. Did something happen in practice? I have no idea. But he could be a game-time decision. Why wouldn't you just say he's going to be a game-time decision and then, you know, make the decision then? We don't even know if he could be a game-time decision. It's very interesting the way Cliff phrased that.
It's the mystique.
Yeah,
it's the mystique of it all, right? You Cliff, keep them guessing.
Cliff, all through training camp, right? Everything was a minor issue or a minor deal or a minor
thing. If I wanted to keep them guessing, I would just say he's going to be a game-time decision. I just want you to know that right now. Could be 50-50, up in the air. Game-time decision coming your way.
Wouldn't you just say, DeAndre Hopkins, who's that? I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Never say never, but never.
No. Max, what's going on, Max?
I'm doing great, guys.
A little Mike Tomlin right
off the
top.
Yeah, it was. Right it there. Was. Yeah, no, trust me, the topic of the day today has been a lot of
time. So.
Yeah,
oh,
my goodness. We're going to ask you about it here
Max,
shortly as well.
Max, do you want to talk about Mike Tomlin for another hour?
Yeah, exactly. Here, guys, do you guys have a couch and possibly a pillow?
Yes, and you have somebody who's wearing glasses and is going to walk in with a white jacket.
And a little clipboard. Let's start, though, with this game tomorrow night. And Davante Adams and Alan Lazard not going to be there for... Has Adams been officially ruled out? Lazard's definitely out. I don't think Adams can play.
Adams has not
point.
Been completely just because of the COVID protocols,
yeah.
Right? He has to have two consecutive negative tests within 24 hours of each other. So, you know, if there was a negative yesterday, he has to wait until today to get that negative, or if it's going to be something where he tested negative today, then you got to wait till tomorrow to get the second consecutive.
So Lazard's definitely out. We know that.
Yes.
Adams probably out. So, Max, if you are looking at the Green Bay offense, how obviously Davante Adams is a big deal. Lazard doesn't have great numbers, but he is technically their number two receiver this year. Not having them, but still having Aaron Rodgers, how does that change things?
Well, I think it changed it because, you know, I've covered them twice already this season. I had the Steelers game in Green Bay, and then I did the Washington game last week.
Oh.
So seeing this team, and they continually morph as a team. Because you look at the Washington game, Washington played them tough in the first half. I mean, it was both of them came down on both of their opening drives, scored on each other. And then after that, it was kind of a stalemate, two back-to-back block field goals in consecutive drives, which was, I don't know if that's ever been done in NFL history. But, you know, that was another issue. And then luckily they scored right at the end of the half to Alan Lazard to go into halftime up 14-7. Defense kicks it on. They get another one. And then they kind of pour it on. They become Green Bay, right? They just play keep away from you. But having Davante Adams out and possibly Davante and Alan Lazard for sure being out, that's tough because that's the one issue that Green Bay struggled with is finding who's going to be the number two receiver.
Yeah.
They've kind of filled it with a lot of different guys. Obviously, Valdes-Scantling being out was their proposed number two. And you do bring up Equanimeous St. Brown. He's on the roster. He's had a catch, I guess you'd look at it. But Alan Lazard was kind of your possession physical guy. They looked at him as a guy that could be the enforcer type. Like, he's the one that would go dig guys out if an eighth man fell in the box. So he did the grunt work. now you look at this roster, you say, man, if you take those two away, what are they? Well, they're A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones, and Aaron Rodgers, the Holy Trinity in the backfield. That's what you're relying on. With an offensive line that still has some issues as well, they're okay, but they didn't stop the pass rush really that great. Aaron got a lot of pressure from Washington last week. Yeah. Chase Young and company got after him. So I think it's going to be imperative if they want to be successful. You've got to use a Robert Tonyan. You've got to use these guys that we're used to Aaron making them a name. Right? He's the one that makes guys
he's
names.
He's done it for his whole career, really.
His entire career. So he's going to pass the football. That's what Aaron's going to do. But the question is, how do they get to it? Will it be more play action? Right? Will it run through Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon to soften teams up to get them to pull them to the line of scrimmage? Sure. The screen game is still good for them. And then start throwing over the top to these guys. But I don't think you're going to see as much pock shots as we're used to seeing what Aaron's going to do. I think they change a little bit as an offense.
I think they have to change as an offense right now, knowing that Aaron Rodgers wants to be in an offense that is balanced, an offense where they run the ball, they fake the ball, use an awful lot of play action, the tackle zone. You know how much he loves that and how much he has ripped up other teams in the National Football League using it. My question is, if they do want to run the ball more, which I think they're going to do, especially against the Arizona Cardinals, knowing that from time to time, the Cardinals have struggled to stop the run, I wouldn't be surprised at all tomorrow night to see them come out and try to assert that, the fact that they are going to run the ball. Do they have the offensive line to do it? That is really my question. Where does this offensive line rank compared to other offensive lines?
I think they fall a little bit below that line, especially now that Josh Myers is on IR, their center, right? And you got Lucas Patrick, their backup left guard, taking center snap responsibilities at the current time. He was okay. He didn't shoot anybody in the foot or himself by playing at center, but you know, you have a young guy, Jake Hansen, that you're not quite ready to put into the fire, second-year guy. You want somebody that he's comfortable with, and I think that's what the biggest question is who is going to be the biggest ally to them? And it's going to have to be outside the tackles, because you have Elton Jenkins over there at left tackle. David Bakhtiari is still not back. Saw him walking on the sidelines pregame last week. Does not look like he has that type of care in the world right now. And you look at Billy Turner on the right side. Billy Turner is susceptible. And I think when you think of Chandler, Marcus Golden and company, putting different guys on him, Billy Turner struggled. I mean, Chase Young was whipping him left and right in that game. And so I think they are susceptible. So it has to be between the guards that you're going to get this job done. I think Elton and I forgot who the left guard is right now. But that's probably your best bet on running.
Is it Runyon?
Yeah, Runyon. Yes. There it is.
It's right in the name. If you want to run, you go with Runyon.
Runyon. Yeah. So you run yourself behind Runyon.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of where you have to do it. Pass protection, you need to have chip and body presence help on the right side. El Jink is pretty good at left tackle, but Billy Turner is susceptible. You know, he can actually be a Turner.
Oh, see, I mean, look at that. See how you're playing the game?
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a great name for an offensive lineman.
Yeah, but there's a great opportunity for this line. If they get them into more of a passing mode. Now, here's the other thing I will say. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, swing masters. Swing pass is key. So if he feels like there's pressure, those guys are usually running swing. So you've got to keep a linebacker eyes on the running backs because they're so great at the swing pass out of the backfield. So you can't get a pass rush on him.
Yeah, Aaron Jones right now is the number one receiver on the team if Devontae Adams can't go, and just in terms of receptions with 26. And this is a guy that ran for 16 touchdowns 2 years ago, so he knows how to get into the end zone as well. All right, Max is here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about an issue. Maybe it's not an issue, but it looked like an issue on Sunday against Houston that the Cardinals had. They haven't had a lot of issues this season, but want to get this one short up. We'll ask Max about the offensive line next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Maximum football.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
All right, should point out, Steve Weich just mentioned on NFL Now that Devontae Adams is not even traveling with the Packers to Arizona. So it is going to be difficult for him to play from Green Bay since the game is here.
Yes.
Yeah, this isn't like e-gaming.
No.
Where he can go.
Not yet.
Put it down. That is true. That is true. We are moving closer to where we're probably clone guys, and they'll have to play as themselves in a real game.
Boy, that'd be tough for the Texans that we just saw.
That.
Who would they even clone?
No, I don't want to.
You just completely blew Wolf's mind.
I know.
Honestly, I'm trying to figure out how to live without a phone suddenly.
Well, don't go off the grid on us, Wolf.
I mean, really, show me how to live.
You had a clone, you could borrow the clone phone. See, so
that
Max,
is true.
Max has presented a possible solution.
We remember the movie Multiplicity, right? We remember that movie.
I remember hearing about it.
Yeah.
I forgot who I'm talking to. Sorry. Never mind. I digress. Anywho.
Why would you think I've seen it?
Read it, okay, Max?
I do read books.
Oh, you do?
I read plenty of books.
Okay, what is the last book you read?
Last book I read was actually 22 Talking Shifts.
Okay. 22 Talking Shifts.
So it was about leadership, how to change the way. So I read organizational leadership books.
Do you do motivational speaking? Do you like getting up in front of people saying, hit them high, hit them low, fight, 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 fight?
I mean, I don't necessarily say it like that.
But he's going to now.
Yeah, now I've got to say it now, right? So what's funny is I've been asked a couple times to do speaking engagements, and I enjoy them. I enjoy them, but it's not something that I've ever marketed myself as doing.
Sure.
But I do enjoy the points that great leaders make. You know, I love understanding this more, the psychological aspect of leadership. So that's something that I'm always intrigued by. You know, my one good buddy, Jordan Babineau, former Seahawk.
Yes.
Defensive back.
Yes.
So Jordan's one of my good. He actually wrote a book that I read before that. It's called Pivot to Win. And talk about pivoting and transitioning, obviously, careers and jobs and your mindset. And he does it from a former athlete to an entrepreneur perspective. So I do have books that I read. You know, I read a couple of other ones, you know, Way of the Superior Man and different things like that. So, you know, reading is important.
Sure.
But I love a good movie.
Yes, you
love a good action Marvel.
There's nothing
slash,
wrong with that.
Now, I don't know how I feel about rom-coms yet, but I like the com part of it, the comedy. I love comedies.
Sure. If they just had comms. Just comms.
Which they do.
They do, yeah.
They do.
Max, how about this? I know you're always mad at me because I don't actually watch movies.
I know.
I've made some progress, though.
Okay, all right.
I've begun watching more trailers.
That's at least
it's like the
nugget.
Gateway into the world of movies.
It's a gateway to a good movie, yes. If the trailer grips you, maybe one day you'll get it on VHS.
Maybe one day.
Because you don't
picture disc.
Yeah, exactly. You don't do streaming. I take it.
I do. I just don't ever actually watch the movie.
I've got to get better at this. I really do. I've got to get better at this, man. Because honestly, I will never see a movie. I will never go to a movie unless my kids want to see it. I got to get better at that.
Well,
there's some good ones out there, Wolf.
I mean, I'm endeavoring in 2022 to get better
like
at
what,
that.
What is your genre? If you had to pick a genre that you would go see a movie.
Okay, I would say fantasy. Are they going to make another Tolkien movie? Are they going to make another?
They just released Dune.
Okay, well, Dune, that's
sci-fi fantasy.
Come on, that's sci-fi. So you just
but there's sci-fi with fantasy.
Fantasy.
You said fantasy,
that's
and it has fantasy in it.
I feel like as the driver of the show,
yes,
it's my fault that this got off the rails.
Sci-fi, exactly.
So. Exactly.
You know what? Well, I blame you.
And he can't drive. And he can't drive in the movie realm. So
no, I can't. So I'll just let you roll.
So we just
over
kind
there.
Of crash.
So
going
we're just
150.
We're just like a boxcar derby. There's no engine in it. It's just rolling down.
All right, Max. Thanks for coming in.
So pick up a book and read a little Victor Hugo and the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Well, okay, my friend.
And they made a movie out of that.
All right. Max, the offensive line for the Arizona Cardinals may be without, they're without their center. They might be without their backup center. I guess, let's start. Are you interested in playing on Thursday? Because they may need somebody on the offensive line. Have you ever played center?
I'm left-handed, so that precludes me from it. But then again, Kyler Murray is a shotgun quarterback, so
don't get Wolf started on that.
Yeah, anywho. I'll never forget this. Steve Spurrier,
yes,
freshman year,
okay,
trying to fill out the offensive line. We're going through guys' positional flexibility,
okay,
and everybody has to take a snap at center just in case emergency. So I'll never forget, you know, I'm like the third one. My buddy
you stunk.
No.
Okay.
I went to grab the ball with my left hand because I was like, that's my strong hand to snap with.
Yeah.
Steve Spurrier goes, no. Go ahead. Get out.
No way.
He didn't want me even snapping to any of his quarterbacks with my left hand.
Not even once.
That's not nice. Even once.
That's nice.
So that was the extent of my center career.
Yeah.
So
pretty short-lived.
Yeah, I played every other position at length.
Okay.
But that's the one I've never played.
But you're out for
Can
tomorrow.
Can I ask you, in this last game the Arizona Cardinals played, did you notice that Kyler Murray was getting knocked around against the Texans? Did you notice that at all?
I noticed it a little bit.
Okay. He was taking some shots, Max. And I think this is really, really important going forward. The Arizona Cardinals have got to do a better job, in my opinion, of protecting him. Now, you can't put him in a box, of course, metaphorically speaking.
Or put bubble wrap on him.
Exactly right. You cannot do that. He's going to get hit. But, man, there are some schemes I think you can run. There are some things you can do to actually help him not get hit as much.
Well, I think there are some things. I think we do see a lot of the pre-designed rollouts, right? We do see him making plays on edges as opposed to just staying back in the pocket. But I think you do have to – every once in a while you have to say we might need a couple of extra guys – body presence wise. And I get, you know, losing Max Williams was huge, right? Because
yes.
That added a defender and a body that you had to work through, regardless if he was just there or if he was actually blocking.
He brought balance. A lot of balance.
Yeah. So I think that's where they kind of struggle, is finding who that tight end H-back type is going to be. And that usually provides your sixth and seventh blocker, potentially. So when they're in five-man schemes or they're in five-man-plus running back schemes, they are more vulnerable, right? Because you want to get that. You want to get the running back out in the route. You don't want him just sitting in there blocking the entire time. You want to have a safety valve. But the offensive line, like you said, is going through some nicks and injuries. I mean, how many rib injuries can you take on one team?
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it is weird.
And
it
every
is.
Team they play has calf injuries. It's the strangest thing.
But it's one of those things. It goes in waves. Like the Steelers issue is groins. Like they literally go through like two groins a week.
You can shoot that up, though.
Yeah, you
There's
can.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But if it tweaks further, then they're out longer
in
the
trouble.
End. Yeah, then you're in trouble. So it's one of those things where every team has their own bugaboo issue that you kind of have to deal with. But yeah, I think that's the issue. When you have those type of injuries, and especially with the rib. Like a rib is a lot different.
You can shoot up ribs too.
But if you have you just want to shoot everything up. Well,
Wolf is just
I'm glad you did
guy.
Not get a medical degree, Wolf.
I love it,
you just man. Better be sure that you have a good trainer. Otherwise, you're going to end up like Tyrod Taylor.
Again.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
listen, for my lung.
You know what, honestly?
Exactly.
It was
Dr.
one
Wolf.
Of the beautiful things about playing in the 1980s, ladies and gentlemen, was just the fact that, you know, I'm good to go. Shoot it up.
Go ahead, Doc. Just hit me right
just
in the ribcage.
Shoot no, okay. it up. Right
I know
there.
There's
what
lungs and viscera and intestines and the heart. You know, it's in there.
That'd be fine.
But just make sure you hit something hard.
Oh, man, you got to love blue juice right there. Yeah. But I'm sorry, I got you sidetracked. You were making a very serious, valid point.
that Wolf shot down like four different ways.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, you can shoot that up.
Yeah, exactly. He had the same answer for four different questions. Yeah. It was awesome. But I think that's where it's tough, because it is cartilage. It is bone. And there's no blood flow. Like, blood flow is what heals a lot easier outside of an injection. That's what heals. It's like head of off at the pass, right?
You said it to me and you looked at me, but I could tell you were speaking to him.
But I think that's what makes it tough, because that takes time. Like, I mean, think about Kelvin Beecham's injury, right?
Yeah.
Kelvin has been out and you know, it was a long amount of time. So that's where you deal with issues that you can't readily tape, so to speak. And so every team is going to have that bug. And the offensive line has dealt with these injuries. You dealt with guys missing time, because the starting five looks great. And they've done great when they're in there, but you don't have those guys available. So now you're like, okay, now we're testing the depth of our team. The trouble is, in this game, there's a guy by the name of Kenny Clark that's in the interior.
Yeah. Yes.
And he is an absolute monster in the middle.
He is.
So now you've got to figure out, how do I get him blocked, but then also worry about the guys on the edge. Like, Preston Smith missed last week, but they signed Whitney Mercilus, and guess who was playing on Sunday? Whitney Mercilus.
Yeah.
You know, for Preston Smith.
Green Bay's been active adding these guys.
They've been active adding guys, and they want, because they know that they need to apply pressure to opposing offenses. They have to get a pass rush, and it can't come from the interior. It must come from the edges, and their edges have not been strong. So now you're going to see more edge pressure from them. So how do our tackles stand up against it? Well, obviously we know DJ's great. You know, the Murray, the Justin Murray, Josh Jones, all that kind of experimental guys coming in has been okay, but it's not as good as it can be, and then you lose a tight end. So that's going to be a big issue, is how do we confuse them either with motions to get guys to spread out and declare, to keep more guys outside the box that can't blitz, instead of bringing them in. You know, like when you run like a ghost route, or you run a Z-mo, you bring a guy that sits on the edge, well, that brings a guy in.
Yeah.
So we don't want that, because if that guy can fire off the edge before you can get to your hot read, that's a problem. So I think they're going to have to do a great job of really spreading teams out, keeping them spread. But at the same time, the body presence is key with your running backs and whoever you have at tight end coming in to play that and edge guys off. Because I think that's the biggest pressure I worry about, is edge pressure versus interior
pressure.
There's
no doubt about it, man. The edge pressure. I can hit your quarterback if I want to. I can hit your quarterback, and that's where I worry about spreading it out, where you're going to go four wide and you're going to have one running back out there, or you're going to go empty, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Every time you go empty, I can almost guarantee I'm going to hit your guy, even if you go hot.
All right, text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, Max, we're gonna ask you about Mike Tomlin. That's going to happen. We're going to go around the NFL with Max Starks next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Max Starks. Starks. Maximum football. Maximum football.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
All right, let's just get this out of the way. Max, you have something? Do you have an apology for me for ending my undefeated season on Sunday?
No, I have nothing but simply glorious lamentations about my team to convey.
Oh no,
we took down the mighty Lipinskis. Yes, we are talking fantasy, Wolf, and we did something. I did something that not a lot of people get to do, and I'm the first one to do it this year. I beat Luke head to head.
It's ridiculous.
As number one in our league, and I was sitting like in the middle, like bottom third of our league,
just hiding there,
and lowly me. You know, he thought he was walking over a carcass.
Yeah.
And I jumped up and bit him.
How many leagues are you in, Max?
Three.
Three. Well,
you see, Max is in more than I am. I'm only in two now.
You're only in two.
I've cut it to two.
You guys realize you're
ruining. But they're both money leagues.
You're ruining professional football. You realize that, right, Max? I mean, you know you're ruining it.
I'm not
ruining
it.
You're changing the game.
I'm not ruining it. I set my roster on Saturday. And in fact, I've started injured guys, okay? Because I don't pay attention enough to it. But I try and set it there so I'm not thinking about my game.
Yeah.
But yeah, after the Green Bay game last week, I just happened to look on there because I got a little alert. You know, they'd let you know when they're in the red zone.
I was hoping maybe you wouldn't notice.
And I was like, ooh, another score.
Yeah,
all right.
Because the guy started Taylor Heineke against me and won.
Yeah, I started Taylor Heineke because Ben
so
was on
by. So you're not even trying at this, and you actually beat the legendary Luke
Lipinski? Right. Hold on.
Did. For a second here. I tried a little bit. I actually go to the waiver wire, but it's like Thursday after everybody's picked over
it. Yeah, good luck in this league.
And I just go find a carcass and throw it in there.
Yeah, and it works.
Yeah, because I learned the first 2 weeks I had guys starting that were actually injured. Like, I was like, what am I doing?
All right, enough of this.
I didn't even know how to do a keeper league. Do you know what a keeper league is, Wolf?
I have no
exactly.
idea what a
me neither.
League
I did a
is.
Me neither. It. We did a draft once with Wolf the 1 year we forced Wolf to do it, and I'll never forget this. Midway through the second round, he was like, why isn't defense as important as the quarterbacks?
Yes.
And he just started taking defense.
Exactly.
It was amazing.
It's just crazy.
This is all right.
It's awful.
Max, I want to ask you, let's start with Tomlin. And his name comes up for USC. I loved his response to that of like, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he was very definitive. What did he say? Never say never, but never.
Yeah.
There's not a booster out there who can write a big enough blank check for me to go coach college.
Yeah, there's not a big enough blank check that a booster holds.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I think that's, you know, and Tomlin, obviously there was a certain layer of an undertone there that we won't get into. But at the same time, it was something that, you know, he made the point about, why aren't you asking Andy Reid and Sean Payton about this? Obviously, other long-tenured head coaches in the NFL. Because you have to remember, Tom was the second longest behind Belichick.
Yeah,
at the same team,
incredible.
15 years.
Incredible,
and he's never had a losing season.
Incredible,
right? And then you get this question: U.S. Why would I even think about
exactly
a college where
what?
I got to go recruit a kid?
What?
His parents, the high school coach, the boosters have to be along with it. The administration, like you have so many cooks in the kitchen, when he only has to answer to a GM and an owner.
You have to look at some kid's mom and say, "These are the best sticky buns I ever had."
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's, honestly,
I love one pot dinners. I love one pot dinners. No, they're great. No, it's amazing. It's only the 17th one this week.
Mrs. Smith, this is the best cookie I've ever had.
And can I tell you how great Johnny is? Johnny is just amazing. He's going to be the difference in our school.
I honestly, right now, we've signed
seven other linebackers, but he's the eighth one.
He's the most important.
Why would anybody leave the National Football League when you've had 15 years as a head coach?
Successful, never had
a losing season.
Yeah. Successful. And I think that's kind of, you know, when we talk about the other part of it, it's like, why not? And you know, I threw the question out. My buddy George Reister put it out on Twitter, like, Mike T, get it. I said, it's funny. You go and ask Mike T, but you didn't go right around the corner to good old Sean McVay and ask him if he had any free time on his hands. Like, I mean, that's kind of the audacity of it. Yeah. Is that why did you pick him? Go to Matt Rhule. Guess what? A guy who played in college, right? Who was a college
coach.
You know,
a guy who might not be coaching in the NFL much longer.
He won't be coaching much longer. He might be looking for another job. Yeah. Urban Meyer.
Go to Cliff Kingsbury. Why not go to Cliff?
You wanted him as your OC, right?
He already tried that.
You wanted him as your OC. Maybe he'll like head coach better. Maybe that's why. You didn't put an HC. You put an OC. Different letter in the alphabet.
They should have, as it turns out.
I guarantee you, Cliff's like, no way am I doing that again. Yeah. I'm not going back.
Exactly.
Right?
I got
not
a good thing
this
here.
Kid.
Yeah, and when you're used, and the other thing is that Mike T is a leader of men. He's not a recruiter of kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get he could probably have the charisma to do that.
Yeah, he could.
But it's not in his ethos. It's not in his personality base. And I'm sure he's had college offers in the past. But what he represents and what he does at a professional level, and he's at one of the best jobs in the league that you could ask for as far as franchise-wise.
Yeah.
Why am I going to go to USC? They've been in the Pac-12 for, 7 years since it's been the Pac-12?
Mm-hmm.
How many Pac-12 championships?
They've been to one championship. We were looking at this like a week or two ago. Like, the Pac-12 South has won one Pac-12 championship since it became a thing.
Yeah.
Which is an eye-opener even for me.
Yeah, so what is the draw to USC now? There is none. Like, you're going off of history. If I want to say, oh my gosh, O.J. Simpson played here, right? I mean, you know.
Maybe not that
Reggie
far back
Bush,
the history.
But what I'm saying, but yeah. I'm saying, you go back. Like, that's where you have to go.
John McKay.
John McKay. Hey, my Uncle Joey played there. That's great. Joey Browner is a beast.
Oh,
Ronnie Lott.
Goodness.
Remember those names?
I mean, they were good in the 2000s. It's not like USC is like
But because of Pete
folded.
Carroll, right? Because
yeah.
it wasn't the Paul Hackett years. I was recruited to USC by Paul Hackett. I didn't want to go there. Because they were at the bottom of the Pac-10.
I get it if you are an NFL coach that's about to lose your job and you want to go to college. If you wanted to coach college football,
ask Kyle Shanahan.
Well,
they're not having a great year in San Fran.
No, they're not. I could at least understand. Okay, I'll go live in LA and recruit there, and maybe I can build that program up. But Mike Tomlin makes. The guy is the most established NFL head coach, like you said, other than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, yeah. It makes no sense. And when you think of...
And there's no hot seat in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there's no hot seat, and the team is at 500. It's different if you're like, oh, you're 0-6.
Yeah.
Coming out of the bye, he's getting warm. No, he's still in right in the middle of a division race right now.
He really is. They're like a game out now. Like
one game away, and it's Cincinnati. So... I think that's kind of where you have to say, why at this moment and why at this point? Like, go back to middle PA and go ask James Franklin again. You know, a guy that will want to do that. Go ask Joe Brady.
Yes.
Right? An OC at the pro level.
Franklin be all over that.
Yeah, but there's nobody in the AFC North that would have any desire to go to USC or LSU.
They may have to go get Clay Helton back. Which team has the most to gain from this Thursday night football game? We're going to get Max's thoughts on that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
No.
Wolf and Luke, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Maximum football.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
All right, Max, before we get into who potentially has more to gain from this game tomorrow night, I do want to ask you this because I think you had a front row seat to this. The Cardinals, obviously the last undefeated team in the NFL this year at 7-0.
Yeah.
The Steelers last year went 11-0, right, before they lost.
Yeah.
But then, and I hate to bring this up, but you did bring up my fantasy team, so I guess it's all fair at this point.
Yeah, he did. Here comes the metaphorical kick to the teeth.
Just encouraging it. They then proceeded to lose 5 of 6, the Steelers
did.
So, do you see similarities between this Cardinals team right now and the Steelers when they were winning every game, or are these two very different teams?
I think I see some similarities and parallels. I think the only thing I could say is the Steelers ran out of gas because the arm of Ben Roethlisberger could no longer carry him at that point because he threw way too many passes. I don't think you have that same situation with Kyler. I think the one bugaboo that you do have is the health of Kyler. If you continue to let him get hit, and we know what happened last year, right? Last two games.
Yeah.
That's my only concern is the cumulative effect of hits on Kyler is going to be your, you know, for lack of better words, your Ben Roethlisberger arm at that point.
Yeah.
Because you can run the football. You can play stingy defense. We've seen it. But that's going to be question. QB1, can he stay on the field? Because that's the great equalizer of all of this. As long as he's on the field, as long as he's healthy to perform his jobs, I don't think you have the same issues that Pittsburgh had last year. You can ride this a lot longer, but you've got to be smarter. You've got to be able to utilize multiple personnel sets. You've got to get into the bigger sets more often. You can't rely on going wide to quote unquote show things a lot easier, right? Because I think when you get up against a good pass rushing team, they're going to neutralize that because they know that they have more people they can bring versus what you can block. And the ones that they do have blocked up can whip those blocks. So you've got to create more bodies. And when I was talking earlier, I said that you have to keep teams more wide out. That was meaning for the receivers only, but you still need bodies on the inside. You still have to have the motions and get bigger guys on edges to provide those chips and body presence so you can secure things. So a guard can do bump on the nose, look out to the tackle, and kind of help in space versus, oh my gosh, we got man, they went wide nines, and we got to spread everything out. Now you create big gashing lanes for a rushing team. You don't want that, and that's what you get with 4 and 5 wides. You want to still have bodies in there, but you need multi-purpose bodies. You need the running back and a tight end, or you need two tight ends and a running back, or heck, I was talking to Wolf about this, pony personnel, put Connor and Evans in the backfield, and let them both be the decisive guys because they both can run the football. Now you have to figure, is it left? Is it right? Something to create a different dimension that you have to think about as opposed to just motioning for the sake of motioning because we saw what that does for Kansas City this year. It's not a lot of good support.
No.
So people know to pick up on that. They've had 3 years to look at what Eric Bieniemy's been doing.
When you went pony personnel right there, you're talking about 20 personnel, 2 backs, no tight end, 3 wide receivers. Is that what you're talking about, pony?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's pony personnel.
That's pony personnel.
So they're doing a little bit of that from time to time, right?
Yeah,
and it's cool to actually see it. But you brought up a name I want to ask you about, James Conner.
Yeah.
He is running the ball like a man possessed.
Yeah.
That's an overused phrase, but that's the way he seems to be running the ball to me. Does he look different than he did last year with the Steelers?
Yeah, I think, you know, health is a key,
okay,
number one. But B, you're not the lead featured guy. You have a split responsibility. So you know that I'm going to get a little less carry, so I can use that extra energy that I normally have to spread out over 20 carries, and I'll get to kind of focalize it into about 12 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
So I can run with a little bit more panache, right? I can go punch it in there.
What's that word again?
Panache. Write that down. Look at
and just go punch it in there and then see what happens, right? You know, go hit the sledgehammer against the dam and see if it breaks. you tap away if like, listen, I got 19 more of these I got to do, guys. Let me conserve my energy.
There are some runs that he's sticking and I'm like, oh, yes. That's exactly the kind of physicality I think this team needs. And one of the reasons why Steve Keim in the offseason said we need to get – there are two things we need to do, to be more physical and get more leaders inside that locker room. That's what Steve Keim said. And then he went out and he got James Conner. And James Conner is paying that off in spades.
Yeah.
Love watching him play.
Well, you went and you got James Conner and you got Rodney Hudson. Two key pieces to add in the centerpiece of that offense to go with Kyler Murray. You need a competent, well-respected, and bruising center. Check. Let me go get a bruising back that has something to prove. Check. So you got these two guys that I thought were quality, amazing additions. And then you already had the complement on the edges, right? You already had your tackles. You already had your tight ends, and you had your wide receivers. So that was the missing piece in the middle. Now we just need Rodney Hudson back, first and foremost. That would help a lot.
I should mention Cliff Kingsbury said he said this earlier today, there's tracking to come back next week on Hudson.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's a good sign.
Seems like a big bit of news.
It's ribs.
Yeah. Dr. Wolf would have fixed that already.
This wouldn't even have made it to the injury report.
No,
guys.
Yeah, there would be no injury report. The Cardinals' injury report would just be blank every week.
Yeah.
It's a long needle and it's blue juice.
That
use it.
That doesn't sound good at all.
That's not. That sounds like a bad after school
painful,
snack.
Yes.
Blue juice.
Yeah, like in a tube. Yeah. Max.
After school special? Stay away from the blue juice and the needle.
If it's not, it should be. This game coming up tomorrow, and I'm not going to play the clip of Max Kellerman I played earlier and Wolf.
Please don't.
I should, just so Max can see the reaction in person.
I would like to get Max's reaction.
Here, I'll just play that then, Max, and you can react.
Okay. I'm not reacting to it. I'm just telling you right now. Okay. I'm not going to do it.
It might be an involuntary reaction.
No.
This for the confidence of the teams going forward. Arizona likely to remain undefeated. That's really good for them because I see pressure on Arizona.
Yes.
They're at home. Green Bay is not loaded, not fully loaded. If Arizona loses this game, that's a huge boost for Green Bay, and I think a real shot to Arizona's confidence.
No.
Wolf's just staring
at
you.
No, he is. He is giving you the 1,000-yard stare right now. Up and away. Up and away, sir. No, I mean, I don't think it's that.
Confidence?
Confidence. Here's my take on it. I think this is, what once again, trying to grab headlines. You're trying to do clickbait. But for a team like Arizona, the maturity and the growth that they've experienced over the last couple of years, they know what a letdown is, right? But when you go good on good, it's not like they're going against the Carolina Panthers, right, on Thursday Night Football, and you lose that game. Then you're going against a team that's right behind you that only has one loss, and they sleptwalked through that in the first game of the season. They're on a 5-game win streak. The next closest win streak behind what the Cardinals are doing. So I think for them to, Max to say that, it's funny saying my own name.
Yeah, now it sounds like a third person again.
Torture Max.
Yeah, exactly.
Max on Max.
Yeah, Max on Max violence right now. I think that's irresponsible to put that out there. But I think the biggest thing is that
I didn't even go irresponsible. I mean, that was.
Yeah,
that was...
and I could say it, right? Because I don't have to be on the show tomorrow.
Well, actually, Max, you're coming back.
By the way, we got Max Kellerman on.
He's behind this door right here.
But I think the biggest thing is that you want that challenge. Both of you are shorthanded in some sense. You know what I'm saying? Coming into this game, I wish this game was a Sunday game because I would love to see it in that. But Thursday night, it's just a short week, bothers me when you got two great teams. But I mean, for the consumer, it's exciting, right? You get a good Thursday night game. But I would love to have seen this Sunday full strength, good on good.
I would like to see full strength.
That's an NFC championship preview.
But that means the Cardinals get Rodney Hudson back too. I mean, the Cardinals have to be a full strength.
And that's why I want to see good on good. I want to see the good on good and not everybody trying to make an excuse for why they lost. But I don't think that's a knock to their confidence because they have great leadership that's still on that team. And they know that they can rebound. Yeah, Mercury Morris gets happy for a day. You know, there's not another one. Pop
Wolf's
champagne.
About to react.
I know. I'm going to keep talking.
You're killing me right now.
He's brimming at.
Okay,
he's
I'm just
going to
say this quickly right here. Okay, the Tennessee Titans, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, the Cardinals are lacking in confidence. They destroyed those three teams. They got J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins walking around their locker room. They don't have confidence. They've got Kyler Murray walking around. Chandler Jones. This is going to be shot to their confidence.
Yeah, if they go out and lose to Green Bay by three, what are they going to do after that?
And that's why I don't think it's an issue for either team. Because
Green Bay will be fine too.
Yeah, Green Bay will be fine as well. I mean, they own the North right now. I mean, nobody in the NFC North, they're scrapping to say, can we stay healthy?
They haven't played anybody yet.
Hey, they played the Steelers. They beat them.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, the Cardinals.
Well, no, but I think that's the biggest thing that's why it's like clickbait, right? They just want a scintillating headline, and I don't think that's the truth at all. And that's why I think it's irresponsible because you didn't look at the resume.
It's irresponsible
to say that because
you guys were drooling over the Rams.
You're drooling over the Bucks. You're drooling over all these sexy teams.
All the teams right behind them are all like, oh, it's Green Bay, it's Dallas, it's Tom Brady, it's L.A.
Well, think about this. Think about this. When they were drooling all over Tampa Bay, and now Tampa Bay is like an afterthought to them, you know, you also think, oh, Dallas, they're so great. But I'm like, Tennessee, who does not love Tennessee right now in the national media?
Tennessee looks pretty good. They just beat
Derrick Henry in six days. He was pedestrian in that season opener.
Yeah.
They dismantled him. Yes. And he just ran roughshod over, who did they just play Sunday?
Kansas City, exactly.
Destroyed him.
Beat the living daylights out of them.
They ran all over Buffalo, too, six days earlier. So, I see what you're doing, Max. You're winding Wolf up, and then you're going to walk out of here and leave me in this room.
Listen, you always do that to a great toy that you love. You just wind it up and let it go, and you just watch it. And it's amazing. I'm going to be listening on my way to my par three.
Oh, my goodness.
You're going off to golf.
Okay.
No, right. I'm going to watch people golf. I'm going to be a green supervisor. I'm going to measure like closest to the pin and hole in one.
You can't even ever take shots at Max because he's always doing something good for the community.
J.J. Watt's going to be forlorn walking out of the Packers.
See, he can't let it go. He can't let it go. It's okay. He's wrong, Wolf. He's wrong. Let it go. He's wrong.
I'm not good enough.
He's on TV. That's the reason why he did it.
We're going to break. Thank you, Max. Coming up next, we'll get the biggest storylines in sports from today with Wolf and Down Your Lunch. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.